from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session. JPR Live sessions are recorded with Audix microphones. Audix, when sound matters. Today's JPR Live session is one of the few we do out and about, and we are at the super secret location. It's not really that secret. We're at Hearsay in downtown Ashland. Big thanks to Julie Gerwell for hosting us and allowing us to use the beautiful space to record today. Usually when we move out of our new Steve Nelson performance space, it means that we've got to pare down the band a little bit, and that's actually not what we have to do today because we've got the full band here. Michael Trent, Carrie Ann Hurst have released 7 full-length records, and they are the band. My guests, Shovels and Rope. Hello.
Thank you, Eric, for having us. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you could do this. Thanks for taking time out of a busy tour. I know you guys rolled into town on a bus in the early morning, and I'm grateful that we've got an hour with you today.
Yeah, this is great.
Let's talk about how you guys first got together. I know that you are from different locations in the country. Carrie Ann, Mississippi originally, raised in Tennessee, ended up in Charleston, South Carolina. Michael, born in Texas, spent time in Colorado, ended up in Charleston because of a band, is that right?
Yeah, I played in a band with some guys I went to high school with, and we played around Denver a little bit, and we had this opportunity to go play some shows on the in the Southeast with a band called Jump Little Children, and when we went out there, we just realized how much easier it was to tour on the coast. You know, the towns are much closer together, and also there was just this great, really like budding music community in Charleston, and we sort of fell in love with the place, so we just moved.
Yeah, you guys have both now been there for quite some time, yeah?
Yeah,
I've been there since about 2004, and Carrie went to college there.
So I moved in 1998, basically, to Charleston, so I got 21 years there, over half my life at this point.
Wow.
I still feel very much a Tennessean in South Carolina.
You guys have been making music together as Shovels and Rope since about 2008, but making music together actually goes back a little before that, for another year and a half or 2 years, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. The timeline is a little bit confusing because that first record that came out in 2008. We were very much in our own bands at that time. We decided to make that record just as something fun to do on the side and like a relief from whatever was bothering us about our other projects. And it was really fun, and it like just a purely creative experiment. You know, we wrote, I would write a song, and then Carrie would take the same characters from that song and write another song off of that. And then I would do the same. It sort of ended up being like a conceptual record. But anyways, timeline, we put that out, and then we still did our own thing and didn't really start touring this band until 2011. But around 2008, we started playing bar gigs where it was just the two of us, and we would kind of just two-piece.
Yeah, we're just trying to make money, pay bills. I was waiting tables. You were traveling with a band that the films were an amazing band that everything was falling apart for, and we got Charleston is a place where everybody likes to eat and drink and have live bands in their restaurants, and we could gig 5 nights a week, and so we had a two-piece band. The deal was though that we had just acoustic guitars and we would sing loud, and it was working. But sometimes in some of our gigs, there'd be drunks asleep on the bar. And so the kick drum came out of the garbage can of a friend of ours. Jack brought us this kick drum, and we kind of started kicking that on the downbeat. And A, it woke the drunks up off the bar. It made people engage with the music a little bit more. And so subsequently, we like learned to kind of play the drums in front of a paying audience to a certain
it's not that hard, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. We tricked him real good back home. And yeah. And then that led to just years of touring as Shovels and Rope. You know, we got married and then we went on tour. And we never went home, really.
I'm glad you mentioned that because despite doing it all the time, you guys have talked about your general dislike for talking about your marriage, being married to one another, but you do it all the time.
I didn't know that I think that in the early days we expressed our dislike for it, and then through the middle days, we realized that there was no getting around it, and that's all anybody was going to ask us about anyways. And so now in the current days, we're just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah. Floodgates are open. We'll tell you more. We'll overshare with you and you'll never want to ask anybody about their marriage again.
I'm going to do my best to not.
No, it's totally fine.
What I do want to know about though, is with the amount of time that you guys have spent together, making music, not making music, making a family, what is it about each other that makes you work together so well musically? You know, what was it that initially brought you guys together musically, and what is it that clicks that results in the sound that we are all so much in love with?
I have thoughts. Obviously, we like each other very much. We are married, we're a romantic partnership, and we're very best friends and all of that. But ever since the early days of Michael and me just being friends and hanging out, I just, everything about him that's the opposite of me is what's attractive to me. I was very much a folky kind of person who loved rock and roll, and Michael was just like a radiating source of just that, like, rock and roll energy. He kind of has a different approach to writing that is attracting, and our voices. I like his angles and scrapes around his voice. He would just say that it's an imperfect voice, but I love it very much. And mine is like smooth and pretty and can like move around, but it's scratchy around the edges too. And so I think those little scraggly edges fit together in a beautiful way. Huh.
I mean, imperfections are kind of what make us human, right?
Right. Yeah. We have plenty of those. And I would totally agree with what Carrie said. When we first got together, I was interested, you know, I grew up listening to the Beatles and the Kinks and the Zombies, all the British stuff, and kind of like learned how to sing harmonies with that type of music. And Carrie grew up learning how to sing harmony with you know, more traditional country and folk music, and we both are just attracted to harmony singing, and but we come from different, you know, different backgrounds. And I was getting really into, you know, more of the folky music, probably like the darker side of folk music, right about the time that we met. And Carrie was really into like the Stooges and all the stuff that maybe like was more where my background was. And so we both kind of had something that we were curious about the other one musically.
I would love to hear some of that harmony singing. Will you play us something?
Let's do.
What do you want to do first?
Let's do I'm Coming Out.
Ah, we know this one well. Record. This is I'm Coming Out.
One, two, three, yeah.
Did you walk right in? your flesh. Change your mind. Everything you have will change in time. From a worm to a winged work of art, spread my wings and fly them around. I'm coming out. I'm coming out.
That is I'm Coming Out, Shovels and Rope, playing live for us today in a special location. We are downtown in Ashland at Hearsay. Big thanks to owner Julie Gerwell for welcoming us into her place to record today. This is a perfect opportunity for me to ask you about the disparity between rawness and polish in the music that you guys create, because there is at times a little bit of raw, a little bit of polish. Is there a sweet spot for you guys when you create to know just how dirty you want it to be?
I hope there is, and I hope that that's, you know, that's a subjective, the taste of whoever's listening to it. Maybe some, you could take a poll and someone might like something a little more polished or a little bit more rough. But just for, our instincts tend to try to find that spot. I think that that is where a lot of the magic exists, being free to, you know, explore like you're the primal instincts of your like harmony singing, but having the sense to like give it some depth and breadth and a quality microphone perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, early on when your first record comes out, or at least the first one that hit big that we all knew, you guys got lumped into Americana. For better or for worse, you ended up in Americana. And then, you know, there was a kick drum going on, there were acoustic instruments, you were generally singing in a folk style.
Sure.
But you have always talked about the desire to do more than just banjo, mandolin, kick drum, acoustic guitar, to add some, quote, weird stuff to the mix. Mm-hmm. Does that come, Carrie-Anne, from your background of the stuff that you were listening to, or where does that desire come?
I think that desire comes from that shared, we both share a common desire to rock, you know. we love all that stuff. We love purism, but we do not like to be beholden to that. And I feel like Michael,
we're not good enough for
we're not good. I mean, the straight talk. What are we gonna go toe to toe mandolin playing with the Punch Brothers? Sign me off for that. I'm not going to that party.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like even in the first record, there's some, you know, there's some weird things in there. There's some heavy guitar mixed with some banjo, and like there's a lot of space. I feel like on every record, we have gone outside the box. Maybe that's just me being an artist wanting you to see me, you know. But I do feel like we've always been a little bit outside of the box, and maybe, you know, the fact we did get a lot of Americana love at the beginning, and it's great, and we, you know, definitely accept that love.
Yeah.
And are happy to be in, you know, happy to be anywhere. But yeah, I mean, especially with the new record, you're gonna hear all kinds of stuff. It's you know, we've been home recording since the beginning, and always changing and always adding and just exploring, and you know, we're like not going for one thing, which I think is good.
Let's talk about By Blood. When did this record first start coming together?
We were touring constantly. We had a nice little pile of ideas. We were in between babies. We were pregnant with our second child, and knew we were going to have some maternity leave to do some recording. And so we basically
is that how you schedule it? Maternity leave means record a record.
It just kind of turns out that when we have a baby, that's the only time we can stop for 4 or 5 months.
So to continue to our career, we're going to have to make our family huge.
The hell we are.
Tell me about the underlying theme of that collection of songs. There's a lot about family in there.
I feel like there's a lot about the complicated love that exists in a family, especially a family that works together and travels together and is always together. Mm. And who maybe has a brand new baby in the mix. When we started out, you know, we did want to keep everything very separate. It was like, okay, well, this is when we go home, we switch it off, and now we're in home, you know, we're in home zone. But it never really gets switched off. We always kind of have to be working. You know, when you do, when you're kind of your own boss, you have to schedule everything, and we're on the road. We have to stay on the road so much just, you know, to be able to do it, that this music thing has infiltrated our family life. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but it's just, it's complicated, and we have to find the time and the patience to take a step back and say, okay, well, you know, it's time. We need to really just have some family time right now. Like, I don't know. I think that's good for us, because it forces us to have those moments and just put the instruments down and do the family thing.
Yeah. Are you able to go out to the garage or to the studio, wherever, and pass off the baby monitor for an hour or something?
We do. Yeah. You know, it may not sound like the hippest thing in the world, but when you're parents and you're creatives and you're both stay-at-home artist parents, when you're not on the road, there's a schedule, and it's like you get an opportunity every day for a couple of hours, each one of us, to go put your head. You can go exercise and meditate, or you can go write, or you can just kind of do whatever you want, whatever kind of gets, you know, A, makes you happy, and B, gets some creative output. We do. And then we have to get a sitter so that we can, you know, get together and like work on things together.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, it's just, I don't think it's any more complicated than what, quote unquote, normies, like, you know.
So when you're putting a record together and a collection of songs, and you're kind of picking away at it between feedings and changings and whatever else is, whatever other goings on are happening, is it harder then to create a cohesive collection, or did it work out all right?
I don't know. We never really are like, there's never like a running theme until we usually will stand back and make an analysis of where, you know, because every album is like a snapshot of wherever you've been the last 2 years, basically. And then by the time it's recorded and done, and you can hear a lot of those, you know, themes running through, but you don't know what's happening until you stand back and you like look at the material, or in our case, like,
or somebody said, one of your friends said something to you, and then you're like, oh yeah, I never really noticed that.
Yeah, hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah, like, oh yeah, there are a bunch of like yearning, desperate characters who are struggling with their own humanity in these. Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, maybe we'll hear another one of them here. Shovels and Rope are my guests playing live for us today in the lovely Hearsay in downtown Ashland. Their newest record is called By Blood. It is their 7th full length. Michael Trent, Carrie Ann Hurst are here. What do you guys want to do next for us?
Let's do a song called Come On Utah.
I was hanging on a cross. I was dying to make it back to Colorado. Bones in a saddle. I was weary from the battle. The path was much too difficult to follow. Come on, Utah. Hit me over that hill. We coming back again. Come on, Utah, raise me over that head. I wanna see my son and carry my gun like a real American. Well, the war had come and gone, and all the lost ones had moved on. They would gather on the hill to tell their story. Utah was his name. He had a calico mane. He would stride out on the Cannonau morning. Well, he sauntered to my side, and I fell into his eyes. And in them I saw fire mixed with music. So I climbed up on his back, and we lighted down the track. And I yelled his name out so loud, everybody knew it. I said, come on, Utah, lead me over that head. Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and on up the Rio Grande, and come on, Utah, get me over that hill. Well, I'm a weary mile, I'm a jealous child, I got sunshine on my skin, but the hill is steep and my arms are weak and I'm out of breath and there's nothing left. Water in my bag and a horse with a will like a cannon. I was lost, I was hanging on a cross, I was dying to make it back to Colorado.
That's Shovels and Rope. They're playing live for us today. Music from the record called By Blood. Come on, Utah is the name of that one. So a little earlier, we were talking about your family, your growing family, and you guys have talked in interviews about the struggle to do so and to take that out on the road, not just logistics, but really questioning, is this the right path? Is this the right parenthood path to have kids out on the road a lot? Where do you sit with that here in 2019-20?
Feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. If we did question that, I don't really remember it because it's all just a blur. You know, we. I feel like this is our job. We're so lucky to have it. We're so grateful. We're gonna figure out a way to make it happen. If our instincts tell us that something is not right about this, then we'll change it. But right now, it's great. We get to spend we get to spend so much time with them. Too much time sometimes. Yeah.
I'm always asking Louie because she's the one. She's five, you know, or she's four, and I'm thinking about her five, six, seven. You know, schooling them's no problem. That's a piece of cake. Hanging out with socializing, that's a piece of cake. But there, you know, I'm like, is she gonna want to like be on the soccer team? We'll cross those bridges when we come to that. But like, tell you what, you'll never find a couple happier kids in the world than those two running around.
You mentioned at one point you make a living touring. That's where most of the money comes from. Right. You're out on the road a lot. You don't really make a living selling physical albums anymore. Streaming obviously is its own burden. Mm-hmm. So what is the motivation to keep making records? I mean, we love them. Obviously radio needs them, songs, new songs. But, you know, how important is it to keep making a product that ends up in some sort of digital or physical form? Or do you just add songs to your repertoire and play them on stage and travel the country?
I think that the business is so different now, and everybody, you know, you don't have to pay for music, but you do. People consume it anyways, and they want to come to the show, and they want new music. You know, I feel like it's both. You know,
there's
we're
no
artists.
Right or wrong way, I guess.
Yeah, we're songwriters who love to do that and would probably do it anyways. But I also feel like our, you know, to the people that pay money to come see us deserve for us to keep working and making stuff for them. And so that they can, you know, it's not the same show every time we come through, and there's something new for them to, you know, hopefully make them feel something or make them happy or inspired, or that's the way I look at it, at least.
And working in that medium, like, I guess the difference is you know, if you're making a song or two at a time or doing an EP, that's like pretty cool. You know, you go in and you've got your vibe going for like that one song. And it's not that our record is like this anthemic suite of, you know, or a thematic suite of songs, but they definitely, it's like I said, it's a snapshot of a couple of years of an artist's life. And you really get a picture of that period of time. And I'm not comparing us to Bob Dylan by any means, but to think about, you know, who Bob Dylan is, you know, and Blood on the Tracks versus who Bob Dylan is and Desire, yeah, and whatever. It's just like you can feel that sense. And you do lose that when you're just putting out a steady stream of tickety-boo kind of songs. But if the songs are good, it don't matter how they come in the world, as long as you keep them coming. And while we're adapting to the new way of doing music and trying to find that intersection between business and commerce, that's just kind of our medium. That's how we work, and we're old now, and that's just, we're not going
to
change.
We like to listen to albums. Yeah. And we're going to tell our kids, explain to them the mm-hmm. importance of listening to an album all the way through. I think that it's better that way. You're cheating yourself if you don't.
Yeah, it's a good plan. Well, I know there are a lot of ways that your fans can experience Shovels and Rope. They can buy a record. They can listen to our chat today, right? They can go to one of the shows. They can also watch you on the big screen.
Yes.
Tell me about the film.
We were making a performance, like a, you know, live Shovels and Rope live kind of situation.
Like GoPros backstage kind of thing, or what was it?
Not quite. We had our friend Curtis set up a 3-camera shoot at the Orange Peel over a couple days, and the footage started coming back, and it was really cool. It didn't like necessarily like look like a regular old
concert film.
It had kind of a different vibe, a different real kind of moody David Lynchian kind of thing going on. And you know, we always think we love watching music documentaries, but sometimes they can be a little flat or fussy or precious or whatever.
Like concert films specifically. Yeah. When you watch a concert film, it's, you know, on your TV, you're listening through your little speakers, and it's so different than being at the show.
Cause it's not visceral. Immersive.
Yeah, yeah. Your whole body feels it, and it's, you can't control the volume. You know, you're in it, and you are there with all the, like, the lights and the, and all the smells and everything, and it's... Yeah, you can't really capture it, no matter how great the band or how great the show, you know, you watch it on, you know, on your TV, and it's just not the same. So that was part of the impetus for Curtis's
different
idea to make a movie out of this thing. And it breaks up the live performance with an actual story and actors and a narrative, and it's kind of bizarre.
And it's called
Shovels and Rope, the movie.
And where will it be, or where
can
people find it?
If you go to shovelsandrope.com, you buy it directly from us.
There you go.
It's cheap. It's fun. It comes with 3 different components where you can, like, watch the movie, or you're like, this movie's lame, I'm just going to watch the performance. And you're like, this performance is lame, I just want to listen to the songs. The song is really great, but I don't want to look at them. you can all 3 bits. And it's our first attempt at self-distributing this sucker. And it plays on Vimeo.
Right on.
On your regular old devices. You can watch it on anything you got. Except, cool. Yeah, I watch, because you can't watch anything on the
Michael Trent, Carrie Ann Hurst are my guests. Shovels and Rope, the new record is called By Blood. I'm so glad you could stop by and do this with us today.
Our pleasure.
Will you play us one more tune?
We'd love to. This is the title track from our record. This is By Blood. Never miss you, you're always here. Behind the door in the rear view mirror. How could I, dear? There is no space, there is no time. We are here. It's Halloween in my old hometown. Mother's quiet in a sleeping gown. You're a queen, I'm your clown. Let's go strolling through the town, through the crowd, through whirling lights, city nights, by blood. Kisses will do, but that love, that honest love, makes you wait. It alters me, separate, suffocate. But I am yours by blood, by the flood. Brother, stop. By grace, by faith, the great.
That is By Blood. I think that one's at the end of the record, right? The title track from the new record, Shovels and Rope, my guests today on JPR Live Sessions, Michael Trent, Carrie Ann Hurst. JPR Live Sessions are supported by and recorded with Audix Microphones. Located in Wilsonville, Oregon, Audix designs, engineers, and manufactures high-performing, innovative products that contribute to the advancement of the professional audio industry.